Now we are live from Crane Christian Church. It's a little bit after 10. We've had our coffee time. A friend of mine who was a disc jockey used to say it's 10:10 CST, and it's supposed to be Central Standard Time. And he said it's coffee sipping time. So there you go. That was Cal Carter in KAMD, Camden, Arkansas. Your country voice. Okay, well, I'll use my radio voice. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so 2 Kings, guys. We are talking about Elisha. And remember what the word, his name, means. His name means three words. God is salvation. Now, if you're looking to anything else this morning to be your salvation, think of Elisha, because God is salvation. And you say, well, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. God's the answer. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. God's the answer. Whether it's mental, physical, spiritual, he is our answer. So, at one point, Elisha in 2 Kings 2 and 10, this is where we started several weeks ago, and we're traveling at that breakneck speed. We'll probably be done with this in 15 or 20 years, we'll be done with this chapter. So just breakneck speed. But at 15, excuse me, 2 Kings 2 and verse 10, it says this. Let's start with 9. Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. That's at the very end of 9. In 10, it says this, you have asked a hard thing. And that's what got me going down this path, okay, of this hard thing. And guys, I want to tell you something. Again, I want to lay the foundation. So the foundation is simple. Number one is this. Salvation, literally, I read it three different ways yesterday. David talks about it. They talk about it and twice in Revelation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And he says, knock, ask, seek, I'll come in. Literally, he says, it's not what you do. It's what I've paid for on the cross. I mean, that's Romans. It just goes on and on. Receiving him as your Savior, he paid the price for that. And then that gets you the uniform and being part of the army. Does that make sense? Now, Merry Christmas. You have now joined the army of the Lord. Okay. So that part is raising your right hand. But walking in this path of the anointing, walking in this path of his plan for you, how many of y'all at least read some of the Bible? When you read that, it's complicated, isn't it? Not the Bible. Walking in this path, it gets in literally Elisha, which remember means God is my salvation, says these words. You've asked a hard thing. He wasn't saying it's hard for God. I don't know how God could ever do that. That's not what he said. He said, you've asked a hard thing. So, walking in the anointing, the first thing that we talked about last week or week before last is that you can be misunderstood. Remember, as he walked along there, they come started making fun of him. Baldy, baldy, ba-da-na-na-na-na. And, of course, the bears came out and ate him. We've already covered all that, or ate them for doing that. So don't make fun of one another because you never know when a bear is around the corner. So also, it's easy to be misunderstood through the years, guys, because we all want to feel good about ourselves. And how many of y'all went to high school? Okay. I went occasionally. I was enrolled for 4 years. Okay. But when I was there, there was a literally, guys, think about, and even junior high was probably worse maybe, but people would see something and they would pick on people to make them feel better about themselves, to put them down. And you know what? My wife and I both don't, I mean, that was when we got, when we started dating years ago, she was a senior in high school, and literally, guys, or when we met, okay, I don't know if it was officially dating, but the point being is this, neither one of us had any tolerance for people making fun of other people. Now, I like a good joke, okay, and I usually, most of my jokes, I'm the butt of my joke, okay, or Lorne, okay, because if he's not around, because he, you know, like it. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys, literally, a lot of times in spiritual circles, in religious circles, in church circles, we will point our finger at somebody else and say, well, you know, they do that because to make us feel better about who we are. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, people in small churches will say, well, you know, them big churches, they're doing that, they're doing that, they're doing that wrong, they're doing that wrong. And the people in the big churches saying, you know, if they did this right, then they would grow. You see what I'm, in the different denominations, there's a reason that there's one way to the Father, which is through Jesus Christ, and then what, 150 denominations arguing over what's the best way to do that. Well, anyway, we'll get off of that. But we can be misunderstood and walk in the anointing. We can be excluded. But I want to tell you something. The first of the points that I want to get on this morning is this. Walking with the Father. Walking in the anointing, there is a blessing. And I want you guys to not seek the blessing, but seek the Father this morning and receive. Because I want to tell you, if you was with my daddy and he stopped at the Sonic, which I know would be really fancy eating out for some of y'all, but listen, if you want, if he's eating, you eat. Does that make sense? Okay. If you came to his house, if it's in the refrigerator and mama had not set it aside for something else, you had to be very careful. Said, mama, if you got plans for this, whatever it was. Okay. In fact, she was so, she made a bunch of donuts one time and had to hide them in the, no, a bunch of cookies one time and had to hide them in the washing machine or we would eat them all up before the company got there. But anyway, not that, you know, anyway. So, but walking with the Lord, walking in his anointing, there's a blessing that comes with that. Physically, mentally, spiritually, in every way. And here's the deal. The second word that I want to get into is faithfulness. And this is something that I think we struggle with as a nation. I think we struggle with as a society. Watch this, okay? This is a parable. This is not real, okay? So I could say, we could sit here and say, you know, after church, we need to go to Galena. Everybody, we all need to go to Galena and we'll eat. We'll eat at Galena, okay? We're all going to Galena to eat, okay? And we sit around and we talk about it. We talk about, oh, yeah, you know, they got this and they got that. And boy, ain't that going to be good and all that. But what do you have to, if you're going to be faithful in what God's called you to do, you have to take that first step. You have to take that first step. That baby ain't bothering me. Sweet boy. Sweet boy. But you have to take that first step. And faithfulness includes, now watch this, is taking that first step. What did Elisha do? He walked to the water in faith, took the mantle, and hit the water. He didn't get on his swimsuit and start trying to swim across to get to the other side. He did what he said, he in faith, I've received the anointing, I'm going to go and take that first step. And I want to tell you, we can sit here in the parking lot and run our motors all day and sit and listen to music and talk and all that, but if not other than you guys that ride them old nasty Harley Davidsons, they'll probably overheat. But other than that being a problem, seriously, we'll never get down to Galena, right? Just sitting in the parking lot, just talking about it, even though we no, it's theirs. No, you have to take that step of faith, that first step. And a lot of times, guys, that's the hardest one. Bruce Wilkinson has a book called the Dream Maker. But I will never forget this one point in there. I've read it bunches of times, but here's the deal. He always talks about the border bullies. He always talks about that when you get ready to take that first step, there's always going to be fear. There's always going to be doubt. There's always going to be this, what about this? What about this? What about this? Because the enemy sees us walking in that faith, and he's going to come right there. Because if he can keep us from taking that first step, if I don't ever take the first step, I'll never get any. You see what I'm saying? So listen, God's calling us, take that first step. Take that first step. And another guy that I follow, who shall remain nameless, he's a SEAL, and what he talks about is that when fear comes, the cure for fear is not bravery. It's not bravery. It's action. He says, because what happens is something comes against you, you have to take action, because when you start taking action, then the fear goes from the front of your brain to the back of your brain. It's not like you threw your brain out, but it's like you're acting, and your body is in through training. And here's the deal. What we always do is we literally normally just say, well, you know, that's not a good idea. This, you know, and think about it, guys. The first thing that happened is he does a miracle. Elisha performs a miracle. It's the water, then the men of the city, and we're down into verse 19. The situation that the Lord sees, but the water is bad, and he brings a new bowl, puts salt in it, and went to the source of the water, cast it in there, and says, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water, and from there shall be no more death or barrenness. He didn't test the salt. He didn't. What he did is he took action. And guys, I want to tell you, part of being faithfulness is the first step is taking that first step. But the second thing that we have to remember is in faithfulness is we're going to have an eclipse before long. Y'all don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Okay. But anyway, I think there's a million people coming to see the sun go out for a little bit, but I don't know that that's a great idea. They put in for vacation so I can stay home. Watch it on the interweb. Anyway, but the point being is this. Guys, it's not just taking that first step. After that, it is. Now just think about all the scriptures that talks about this. There's enough problem for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Is that what it says? And I don't mean don't pay your light bill. Just say, Lord, I just have faith. No, pay your light bill. Okay. Because I might want to get something out of your refrigerator. I don't want to be ruined. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. Literally, it's tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, the sun's going to come up. Okay? That's a reminder that God's mercy is new every morning. It's new every morning. So take the step that day. You took your first step in faith. You took it. But then in the faithfulness, it goes along and you take the next step. You do the next thing. You do the next thing. And as you do that, it's just like me being almost 40 years old now. You know, it took a long time for that to happen. Okay. Y'all think that's funny? Well, math are hard. Math are hard. Okay. Maybe 45. Okay, whatever. But the point being, maybe with a little shipping and handling. You know, it's like, when you buy something for $19.95, but wait, we'll get you two, but then look at it. Anyway, but watch this, guys. Literally, that day, that sun comes up, there's new grace, there's new morning, literally, guys, he gives us enough for today. If you start worrying about what's going to happen way out there, you're going to get in trouble because... And don't get me wrong, God's given some of us a long-term vision, and that's not a bad thing. But you have to get up every morning and take the next step. Does that make sense? And that is part of this faithfulness. And he was faithful right then to make the next step. So remember we talked about last week, and we'll hit it real quick, grace for today, and that is represented by manna. And you don't deserve grace. If you start weighing yourself, you're just not good enough. Okay, I love it when I can go to somebody and they're in jail or they're on their sick bed or their deathbed or whatever, and I can say, they say, you know, I haven't been good enough. And I'm going to say, good news, you are right. You have not been good enough. But there's a little something wrong with your theology, because guess what? Jesus was good enough. and he paid the price for me. If he is our redeemer, then we have to have something to be redeemed from. That means we were in captivity and he paid the price with his very blood. And I want to tell you, we'll keep going, but manna reminds me of my grace, my mercy, my love that God's given me for today. I don't gather up enough grace for tomorrow, okay, because it'll spoil overnight. So this next one we did not get to last week. So you got to get this. This is for somebody, maybe the one wearing the blue shirt. This was a gift, by the way. Kim's got good taste. But anyway, watch this. So God's timing, we always put it on our scale. We always say, because we're going to get to all these stories at some point, maybe, but remember what, when the widow woman said, I'll just go ahead and go to that story now. When the widow woman said, Elisha, I owe a bunch of money. I don't know what to do. And he says, he asked this question, what do you have in the house? What do you have in the house? And she said, I've just got a little oil. And he goes, go to all your neighbors and borrow vessels, empty vessels. You're just borrowing them. Borrow empty vessels. And she brings them back. And she takes that one little thing of oil. I say little, I don't know, I wasn't there, okay? But one deal of oil and fills them all by a miracle of provision, okay? And the timing, God always, he doesn't see things the way we see them, right? We see on the outside, we say, well, there's $17.43 and the bill's $19.22, which is $2 more. You know, God don't, you know, we're in the world of math. God's in the world of abundance, of the God who is enough. What happened when they needed to pay their taxes? Go fishing. He's like, I've been wanting to do some fishing. That's not what, okay, I don't have any idea what he said. But he reaches in their mouth and pulls out a coin. I've caught a lot of fish, not being big ones like y'all have, but I've caught a lot of fish and there's never been a coin in any of them. I did have a friend though walking out of the lake one time and there was I think it was a 10 of money laying across his leg when he walked out, but somebody dropped it in the water and it's floating on his leg. And I said, you got money on your leg. Yeah, I probably felt it earlier and jumped away from it, thought it was a fish, but anyway. But the point being is this, it's not too late. You say, well, God, I'm this old and I've used up this with this. And listen, think about, I'm going to give you some quick examples. Okay. Think about Abraham. God, he needed a son. He needed a son to fulfill what God's telling him, you're going to have as many. And he didn't have a son. He tried to do it his way. His wife tried, and at some point he just says, God, it's your dream. It's not my dream. Not my will, but your will be done. How many of you guys have to say that? It's not my will, God, but your will be done. And what happened was, in his age, when Sarah was past the time of having a kid, what happened? Isaac. Laughter. And it's kind of funny looking back on it, okay? Laughter is born. And I want to tell you something. God is not bound by your time, by your circumstances. Listen, I can tell you that I have friends and I love them, and I'm not going to mention any names, that, listen, the best thing that ever happened to them, that they went to jail. And you go, what? Yes. Because guess what happened? God, they got slowed down enough that God was able to find them. Or no, God knew where they were at, but they were able to hear it. That's a better way to say it. But guys, no matter where you're at this morning, no matter what's going on in you, you say, you know, my marriage didn't work. This didn't work. My business didn't work. It doesn't matter. Listen, it's not too late. Okay. Think about Moses. 40 years. He's been trained by Pharaoh. He's a big deal. You know, that was like the most advanced civilization ever. And then He makes a mistake. Anybody here ever made a mistake? I made like one or two this morning. I'm talking about this morning, okay? But he made a mistake and fled, okay, because of his mistake, because of and went to the wilderness and was out there for 40 years, had a whole different life. That was his life. He had a different life, right? He's a shepherd. He's a father. He's a husband. He's part of that tribe. God's blessed him out there taking care. He's eating and, you know, he's healthy. He's walking along. And then God says, guess what? It's time to fulfill your destiny. Now, that's not the King James Version. Okay. He's 80 years old. And he says, but Lord, I don't even talk plain. You want me to be your voice and I don't talk plain? I think, listen, God uses rednecks for all kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, literally, he uses people who you're like, I don't see how this could possible. Listen, I love the fact that Moses says, I can't do this. And God says, oh yeah, you can. And you know why he brought his brother with him, right? It wasn't because he couldn't have done it by himself. Just a little, it was his emotional support brother, right? And that's what he was there for. And that's not bad. That's a good thing. And then you get Joseph. Joseph is, he's a young guy and he's having these dreams and, oh man, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to be a leader and I'm going to be this and I'm going to be that. And right in the middle of that, he is taken into captivity by his own brothers, sold into slavery by his own family, and then has this long loop of false imprisonment and comes out the other side. And one day he's passing, and I always say it like this, and I wasn't there, okay? But one day he's essentially kind of helping pass out the food to the prisoners and kind of being a trustee and, you know, kind of keep the jail moving, you know? And the next day he's the second most powerful man in the world. Don't you think about that? Egypt was the most powerful nation in the world at that time, the most advanced. And he is number two man in the world. And from one to the other, and what you call it, because see, what he saw in his dream was, you know, his brothers bowing down to him and all that. He thought that'd be a big deal. This is, I'm going to tell you what God's got for you is always different. You always see darkly. Does that make sense? So literally, Joseph is a beautiful example of that. And of course, then there's Jacob, which you know my story. My name is not Jacob, but we share a lot of spiritual similarities. But anyway, so, you know, Jacob is a trickster. Tricks his brother, tricks this, tricks that. He's always thinking about himself, always doing this, always doing that. God takes him on a big loop around here and with Laban, and Laban shows him what it's like to be tricked. But God blesses him anyway because God's got a plan for his life. How many of you know God's blessed you anyway? Come on. God's blessed you anyway, even in your redneckedness. Okay. Is that a word? I'm going to look. That's a Bruceism. Yeah, that's good stuff. Redneckedness. That kind of sounds nakedness. I don't know if I like that. I probably won't be using that. Sorry. Yeah, that never came out before. Maybe. So, just remember this: if you're running out of Bruceisms this morning, okay, there's only one letter difference in maturity and manurity, okay? So mature and manure are very close together, so don't think, it's overrated, okay? So anyway, but Jacob, literally, guys, he comes back and in a beautiful picture. He's coming back in a beautiful picture, and God goes before him in the spirit and restores his relationship with the people that he's ripped off. Think about that. His brother was coming with all of it, and Jacob's like, oh, he's going to kill me. He doesn't know that it's going to be a fight. But instead, he embraces him and loves him. But before that happens, he has to wrestle with the man, the angel of the Lord, a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, touches his hip and he's limping. And how many of you know nobody gets out of here without some kind of little limp, right? But I want to tell you guys, literally, God did that in him. So don't give up. Don't stop. Be faithful in what God's called you, because timing is in God's hands. I'd love to speed it up for you, because if I could do that, I'd have done sped it up for myself, because, you know, it's all about me. So the next word, and walking in the anointing. Walking in this anointing that God's called us to have, which is, I love this one, because it's a great reminder of me, for me. It's being grateful. I want to tell you something, guys. I'm going to be very generic about this story. This is an absolute, true, 100% story. Many, many, many years ago, I will tell you that, I was called out in the middle of the night for something to go take care of in my police job. And I was on my way, and I was discouraged. I was tired. I'd had about 2 hours sleep. I was irritated. I was like, God, why would anybody do what I did? Why would anybody do this? And I was in an old Crown Vic. It'll tell you how long ago it was. And it was cold out, and I rolled the window down a little bit to stay awake to try to get to where I was going. I was hoping they had coffee made when I got there. And this still, small voice came to me. I want you guys to hear this. I haven't told this story in many, many years. Two words. Praise me. And I'm like, for what? I mean, literally, guys, for what? For getting woke up in the middle of the night, for being miserable, for being mad, for being... Worship me. Because see, praise and worship is not dependent upon circumstances. What you're doing is you're worshiping him because of who he is. Not because of today, you know, I found a quarter or whatever, okay? That's a big deal. I mean, you know, I'm always looking. Anyway, the point being is this, okay? Watch this. Literally, I begin to, in my craziness, best barber in the world's coming in, by the way, if you need a haircut. The best barber in the world. Billings Barber Company, right there. Okay. So, anyway, millions of people just heard that. Or 14, you know, whatever. But anyway, the point being is this, guys. I begin to worship. I begin to praise God. I begin to say, God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for that I've got enough to eat, because I was eating good, okay? Thank you, Lord, that my kids are healthy. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And I began to praise him and begin to worship him. And I want to tell you something. You're not going to believe this. You are not. Well, yeah, you'll believe it, because I wouldn't lie about it. Within a minute, within 90 seconds, my whole attitude, just think it. It was. I was going this way. I was irritated. Okay. Well, we won't use all the words that I really was. Okay. But I'm going this way, and literally, as I begin to worship him, guess what happened? My whole when I got there, I will never forget it, because I'm a grouch in the early mornings. I'm a grouch. I really am. Don't call me before coffee or whatever. But I got there, and literally, the guys said when I showed up, they go, was you awake? They were like, they didn't say these words, but it was like, what's wrong? Are you drunk? I mean, what's, and they didn't say that. But the point being is, it turned my whole attitude, taking the focus off of, hey, poor, poor. Linda Ronstadt, poor, poor, pitiful me. If you know, you can Google that and listen to that. If you're old, you'll know what it sounds like. But anyway, but the point being, or if you like oldies. But guys, taking the focus off of that's wrong, this is wrong. See, that's what's happening now with the country. This person's wrong, this person's wrong. Listen, we need to be worshiping and praising and calling out to God. And I want to tell you something, our attitude changes. Do you know I can't be mad at people when I'm in his presence? It's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing. My heart gets soft because guess what? His presence brings that, guys. Look at that fancy watch and tell me what time it is.
About 9 till.
9 till, okay. I'll close it up here in about 2 minutes. So I want to tell you, God's called us to be grateful. And just this last example of this. Obedience, we've talked about obedience. We've talked about taking the next step. We've talked about all that, guys, but watch this. Remember the way that God showed with the Israelites twice. Once with the walls of Jericho, it was by praising the Lord. And that's the way the walls fell. Another time, I think it's Jehoshaphat, if I remember right, he's got a bad, they're gonna take over, they're gonna kill. He said, they sent him a message, we're gonna take Israel, we're gonna take him captive and all that. And I love the fact, watch this, he sends the worshipers out first. We'll get to that story at some point if you want to. But he sends them out first. All the guys with the guns but he sends the praisers and the worshipers, and they begin to destroy themselves, the enemy. And I want to tell you, when we sing and worship and praise here in this church, we're not putting on a show, because if we put on a show, we get some people with talent, okay? But what we do is literally we are worshiping him and praising him, and that opens our hearts up for us to hear what God has. So, guys, here's the deal. Remember, you have blessings. Be faithful because he is faithful. And listen, you have the grace for today, the manna for today. The timing is fine. You say, well, I'm 33, I'm 69, I'm 127. It doesn't matter. It's God's timing is perfect. And now let's live a life of worship, praise, and gratefulness. Father, thank you so much for these folks, God. You have given us your grace for today. And Father, I just love the fact, God, that you didn't leave out the warts and wrinkles, Lord, on the guys and girls that followed you in the Bible, Lord. We're all just people. So, Lord, we follow you, Lord, today with all of our warts and wrinkles, all of our coming short of the glory of God. But, Lord, we need you, O God, and help us to walk the path you've called us to walk. Just like Elisha, which means God is my salvation. You are my salvation. So salvation belongs to the Lord. So God, help us today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you.